What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Matt Goes to the Movies. We are here. You've clicked the episode to talk about The Mandalorian Season 3, Episode 2, which I think really surprised my expectations based off of what we got on Episode 1. But in order to talk about this, we were fortunate enough to have Harrison from the Basement Binge join us today. Harrison, you weren't able to be with us for episode one, so maybe we'll be able to get some of your thoughts on that first episode before we really dig into this. But I'm just going to start with welcome.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here. This is a series that I was looking forward to coming out just so I could talk to you guys about it. So I'm glad that I finally get to be here.
Yeah, Rob, you know, we talked about episode one, and I was kind of surprised, and we'll get into that a lot more by episode two, but what were your thoughts here? Did episode two kind of steer you in a direction that we didn't think we were going to go so quickly?
Yeah, I think it took us somewhere that I maybe expected it to be a little bit harder. I've got some thoughts on that. But yeah, it's been all Pedro Pascal for us this week between this show and The Last of Us. So at this point, I just want them to do a remake of Daddy Daycares, just starring Pedro Pascal. That's what I want.
I think that's probably in the works right now. Someone has given him a script for that. I'm sure of it.
Yeah, but if not, somebody write it and get it to his agent quickly.
Right, exactly. Take notes. We just gave you a $1 million idea. You're welcome. but Harrison, before we get your thoughts on episode one, I want to give you a few minutes to just kind of go over what you thought. We do want to take a second to let listeners know that we once again have another great giveaway for them. And this time it is for the movie 80 for Brady, which is out on digital. And we are giving away 5 free copies of this movie thanks to Map360 Collective. Now, this movie stars Lily Tomlin, Jane Fonda, Rita Moreno, and Sally Field, starring as 4 best friends who go on an unforgettable journey to see their hero Tom Brady playing Super Bowl 51 in a hilarious comedy about living life to the fullest, no matter your age. It's been directed by Kyle Marvin, and 80 for Brady is available on digital now at participating retailers and is rated PG-13 from Paramount Pictures. So thank you to Map360 for sponsoring this portion of the show, and thank you to you listeners. This is just a way for us to give back to you. So follow the show notes and figure out how you are able to win one of those copies. But Harrison, I'll kick back to you. Give us a quick recap of your thoughts on episode one.
You know, it's interesting because I was talking to a coworker right before the season started, or like the day it started, I don't remember. And he was saying that he couldn't even finish the first season because he just thought it was like a slow burn. It was too boring and unexciting. And to be honest, I can't really remember season one or two very well. It's hard to think back. But he's like, you must have to love Star Wars in order to get to enjoy that. And I was like, yeah, that I guess that must be it, because I can't really remember anything about it except for that it was just good. And so the first episode started and I was like, oh, maybe this guy's onto something. And like, I was worried that like I had lost my interest in The Mandalorian because it wasn't like I started it and was just like immediately overwhelmingly hooked. Not that I was disliking it or that it wasn't good. I just... like I was expecting myself to like almost like head over heels immediately fall in love. I think that I'm like rediscovering what The Mandalorian is, and which is kind of exciting because I think that I forgot what it was. Like it wasn't overtly Star Wars-y and it wasn't like overtly Mandalorian-y. Like the first episode was like a palate cleanser from what I was expecting. That's not necessarily a bad thing. I still am trying to figure out what I think about it, but yeah, I was excited to rediscover Mandalorian all over again.
Yeah, I think that's a fairly accurate point to make. I mean, especially given, you know, the season finale and what we got in season two. It really did feel almost like a palate cleanser of sorts. Like a, you know, sort of a fresh start. I don't think we really, Rob and I certainly enjoyed it, but we both, you know, kind of talked about how that episode really is just a refresher, so to speak, of like what's going on. Rob, any thoughts that you want to follow up with on that before we actually talk about this next episode here?
Yeah, I think that's probably a good way to put it, because it picks up kind of where it left off when we last saw the two of them in Book of Boba Fett. And you know, it's kind of weird because I think we were kind of like we were so anticipating this. And then I don't want to say the first one was a letdown, but it was like it just didn't match that level of epicness where we left off in season two. So I think if somebody felt like, oh, what happened here? It's not because it was bad. It just wasn't. It wasn't Luke walking in after slaying a whole bunch of bad guys and taking Grogu with him. You know, it wasn't that.
Yeah, and I did actually. I rewatched the first episode, and it just solidified my score and everything like that. But I think I did enjoy it a little bit more the second watch through, just because I kind of knew what to expect, and I was just looking for little things. But you know, I feel like this episode, at least for me, kind of dives back in, where there are a lot of callbacks and Easter eggs to the bigger Star Wars lore in this episode, which I really enjoyed. I'm surprised we got to where we are as fast as we did based off of episode one. So I have a lot of curiosity about what else this season's going to entail. And certainly the trailer shows some, what I thought was some pretty exciting shots, and certainly made me question what we're going to see. And Rob, I'll let you go first on this, but I really didn't expect, because we're just going to be completely spoilers, I did not expect us to be at Mandalore and maybe get some of the things that we got already in episode two. Like, I thought it jumped fairly quickly. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but it definitely seemed to go right into it quicker than I thought.
I'm 100% with you. And I guess kind of one of my biggest complaints about this episode, and maybe it is what it's going to end up being a bigger complaint for the series. What exactly does Bo-Katan do when she's not moping all day? Like, every time we've seen her so far, she's just kind of like chilling, leg up over the arm of the chair, staring. Like, what does this chick's day planner look like? Just mope all day, take lunch, brood for a bit, stare out the window, go home, do it all over again. Like, that's literally all she does all day. And her whole goal is to retake Mandalore. Never even bothers to go there because reasons. And then one guy with a droid possessing half the courage of Shaggy and Scooby takes his stepson on a weekend camping trip to earn a Mandalorian merit badge without any backup at all. And he has no problem getting there. Like, none. Just shows up like, okay, we landed. No big deal. Like, what?
That's so accurate.
Harrison, should we guess the rotten? Is that no, Harrison, I'll let you go first with that. I think that I'm actually really surprised to kind of hear that. Not that she mopes around, but maybe some of the other criticisms. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, I'm kind of right there with him. I kept thinking that, like, I don't know if we're into spoilers yet, but at one point when we get back to Bo-Katan in this episode, I was like, is she just going to be sitting on her throne again? Like, if she is just sitting on her throne again, there's no one around her. Like, is it just her on that planet with that droid? Like, what is she doing? How does she live? Like, does she not have a job? I don't know. Maybe I'm like, need to get out of Earth brain and into Star Wars brain, but like, I don't, it's weird to me. And so I really, really do like that. We're getting into Mandalore, and like, I feel like the story is picking up in a good way. It is really interesting to me. Like, I'm still trying to wrap my head around that comment that my coworker made about like, what is the Mandalorian? Like, how would I explain this to someone? And like, it makes me really kind of existential about the Mandalorian, but it's exciting to see this happening. It's exciting that we're on Mandalore, and like, especially the father son stuff that we get between Din and Grogu is like the best. Like, I could not love that more. And it's cool that there's more characters coming back, that Bo-Katan is going to be here, and I'm excited for other characters. But it's like she feels very poorly written. Like, oh, we just need her available for the story, but we're not interested in making her a character who's actually lived outside of interaction with Din. And so it makes it feel kind of weak, especially to see her like so quickly turn and become kind of friendly towards him, which that's actually something that I kind of liked, which we can talk about that later. So I'm like this weird in between.
That's definitely an interesting thought. I I really liked her because I never really thought about it. And I'm not saying Rob is wrong. I really liked her in this episode, especially when she does get to Mandalore, because I thought the fight scenes in this episode, the ones that we got, I thought were actually really well done. I thought she definitely kicked ass in this episode, which was kind of funny, though, to see like her be able to get the leg up on everybody and Mando kind of getting his ass handed to him, so to speak. That was
that was
a little surprising.
Din kind of sucks at being a Mandalorian in this episode. Like, he actually is really bad at his job. Like, he's terrible at it, because without Baby Yoda and Bo-Katan, he would have been totally and completely screwed multiple times in this episode.
Yeah, there were a couple of things I was like, wow, like, he definitely did not have it in this episode, whatever. Like, I don't know, maybe he's too distracted or whatever the case may be. But is it possible? Is Grogu more adorable than ever so far in the first two episodes of this season?
Oh my gosh, yes.
I literally cannot bear it when he gets that super sad and concerned look. Like, I can't bear it. I can't.
Yeah.
And his ears fold down. Oh
yep.
my gosh.
Yep.
Yeah. He's, you know, say what you will, he's been a highlight of these first two episodes for me. Just more of, like, you know, the noises that he makes flipping out of, you know, their spacecraft. I've enjoyed him a lot. I didn't think it was possible to like him any more than through the first two seasons, but, you know,
does
that is
like,
certainly happened.
More vocal?
Oh yeah, definitely. He's definitely getting more vocal. I'm not sure if I want to see that, though. I don't know if I want to hear him actually talk. What are your guys' thoughts on that?
I don't think I want it either, but I kind of feel like that it's headed that way. Like,
I mean, it's got to happen sooner or later, so, like, it's going to happen, but I don't, like, I'm excited for that because, like, the future of Grogu and seeing, like, maybe a Jedi Mandalorian Grogu Baby Yoda combo thing, like, that's exciting, and to, like, see him mature and become more of a character is exciting, but it's also, like, I don't want to give up this adorableness. I'm not quite ready to let go.
Right, yeah. Just stop growing up so fast. Just knock it off. Yeah,
right. I feel like a parent. Just barely...
I mean, he's 53 already. But, come on.
Right, I know. Right, exactly. You know, one thing, and they did this in season two. It's funny to me how this show really dives into how much the show pulls from other mediums of Star Wars, such as the Clone Wars. Even some of the Legends things were kind of talked about in this. And one of the major things, and I'm going to run this by you, because this is something that we never, ever talked about. And I was reading this week where I was like, oh my God, I never had heard of this or anything. I've read an article, and this has been back since season one. So, Rob, I'll start with you and let me know if you guys have heard this, that it's possible that the Armorer actually has worked with Darth Maul. Have you heard that?
Oh, I hadn't heard that before, but now that you say that, that makes sense. I can, like, especially talking about the Watch and Din talking about how he was raised on the moon where the Watch was kind of exiled, like, I imagine that we're going to get more of that history explored, and it kind of excites me. And, like, especially when that robot thing attacks him, whatever it is, that droid human thing, my brain was going through all the possibilities of who that could be. So I hope we get something like that.
Yeah, well, because Rob, you've never seen the Clone Wars, but there is a time when Darth Maul did in Star Wars canon hold the Darksaber. And there was a group of fanatics that did work for him. And I'm wondering if that maybe is something that's going to, are we going to see something like that? Could one of these flashback scenes, could one of them be with Maul? Because he would.
It feels like Darth Maul has unfinished business, doesn't it? Mm. You know, I guess mild spoilers for anybody who hasn't, well, I guess major spoilers for anyone who hasn't bothered to see Solo, A Star Wars Story. when he shows up at the end, that didn't feel like that was going to be the last word on Darth Maul in Star Wars lore. It felt like there is going to be something else with this. And then that movie was so poorly received that any chance that it was going to spin off into something else was kind of tamped down, at least for the meantime. And that movie's better than people give it credit for.
It is.
But I it's hard for me to think that he won't show up. I think maybe a little bit selfishly, I don't want it to tie too much into the animated shows just because I haven't had a chance to go back and actually watch all of them. It feels like at times, because the creators are the same, it feels like a lot of the stuff that was created by Dave Filoni, he continues to try to bring into The Mandalorian so that people go back and watch, you know, his work where he introduced all these characters for the first time. It kind of feels like that. And I don't want it to feel like that. I just want it to tell a good, compelling story.
Yeah, I'd still say, just a quick sidebar, Solo came out at the worst possible time.
Right.
You have a different release for that movie, and I think it's way better received than when it first, you know, it came out into theaters. But, you know, Harrison, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think this is a bad thing that this show really kind of, you know, overall, it does tie into a much bigger universe, and really more so than any other Star Wars project, I feel, you know, brings in so many different aspects of the animated series, Legends. Do you think that could pose a problem because it's almost getting too big, and it was better as a confined story? Or is that something that's not bothering you now? Or, you know, how do you feel about that?
You know, it's something that I can find myself sitting on either side of the fence, depending on the day and the conversation. I think that there's parts of it that is really, really exciting because there's characters from those stories and things about those stories that I think are exceptionally well done and have awesome characters. Ahsoka being a highlight. If anyone needs convincing that the Clone Wars is quality, just go watch season 7. Like, it's some of the best Star Wars ever. And so I'm excited for that, and I want that. And there's some really, the lore of Mandalore is really interesting. And there's a lot of that could be fun to explore, especially this dynamic that they've kind of hinted at between like the Creed that Din is a part of and the Mandalorians that Bo-Katan is a part of. And like that kind of antagonistic viewpoint they have of each other. Like, there's interesting things there, and there's exciting characters and things that could happen. However, if this just, similar to the Book of Boba Fett, if this just becomes a show for those other things, then it's completely missed the point. Like, the Book of Boba Fett felt like Mandalorian season 2.5. It was just interesting. So there's parts of it that excites me, and there's also parts of it that worries me, where it's like, one of the things that I kind of talked about when we talked about Ant-Man and the Wasp was just like this idea that when everything is trying to be connected, you lose a little bit of the excitement about this one thing. And I think that was what was so exciting about season 1 and season 2 of Mandalorian, is that this was their story, that there wasn't too much else we were getting. And when we got anything else, it was just enough that we didn't lose what we had. And so I find myself going both ways.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think definitely, you know, talking about the legend of, you know, of Mandalore, you know, we certainly get a pretty good Easter egg at the end, and not even an Easter egg because it's so clearly in the spotlight. But, you know, as this episode is ending, we get a shot of what, you know, I'm assuming everybody is assuming is a mythosaur. That's a pretty big piece of Mandalore legend. It looks really cool from what we could see. I mean, great design.
Yeah, I agree.
But again, it's interesting how all of this will tie together for me. And it really makes me think, like, I really have no idea where this season is going. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but I have no clue what is the crux of this season. Like, okay, he wants to be put back into the creed, but now it seems like there's something way more than that. Rob, I'll let you go first.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. You know, once again, we get Pedro Pascal walking around ruined cities with a magic kid that he has to protect, which is kind of funny. But he's trying to redeem his creed. It doesn't seem like he has as much conflict with that as I was kind of hoping to see. I thought that could be a really compelling storyline as he meets additional Mandalorians who have slightly different beliefs from him, because he knows nothing else. You know, that's how he was raised. After his parents were killed by the droid attack, that's all he knows, is this other creed that he was raised in. And I think the more time he spends with Bo-Katan, the more you can maybe see some of that conflict, you know, particularly with the whole helmet thing. So that could be really interesting this season. And just kind of, I think one of the other compelling storylines is, again, if you haven't seen the Book of Boba Fett, you would kind of miss that Din was really struggling as he was learning to use the Darksaber. Bo-Katan picks it up in this episode and just slays. Like, mm-hmm. just, it's like an extension of her hand. She's a master with it. It feels like they're setting it up to that she's supposed to have this. And there could be some real conflict there. She's maybe the rightful heir, but he possesses it, and under their rules, she has to defeat him. What kind of conflict will that set up later this season? I'm kind of excited. Like, I kind of poo-pooed a few things about this, but that doesn't tamp down my excitement for this. I mean, just give me Baby Yoda doing Baby Yoda things, jumping around and trying to get snacks. And I just have to say this too. This show has the best orchestration of anything ever, full stop. Mm-hmm. The main theme and literally every other piece of music is the greatest, most epic and amazing score ever conceived. I struggle to think how anything ever beats this. It's my favorite ever.
I'm 100% in agreement with that. Like, when the title comes up and the theme plays, or when the credits start and the theme plays, I'm just like, yeah, this is why I love The Mandalorian.
Yeah, I mean, I agree too. I think maybe we will see, Rob, some of that conflict, you know, within Din himself, because, I mean, certainly from the preview that we saw, the trailer, he definitely teams up with other Mandalorians. Whether or not they share his views, some of them do, some of them share Bo-Katan's views. I do think we will be getting more of, you know, that said conflict, and that could lead to maybe some of his decision on whether or not he actually cares about getting redemption, or maybe it does tie into the fact that we could find out that the redemption that he thinks he seeks isn't really as noble as he feels it is, especially if some of these things about, you know, these groups that broke off and maybe worked with, you know, people from, you know, the Empire or whoever else, maybe comes to fruition in this season, if that's something that happens. So I certainly think there's conflict. The one thing, and I'm still just kind of curious about this, and I realized there was a connection there, but once again, one thing that I was confused about with this episode and thought was unnecessary is this, his continued obsession with finding this repair part for this droid. I get it. He helped save Grogu, but to me, it feels very unnecessary that he still is looking to get this part. Like, I don't know. Harrison, I'll let you chime in, but I don't know. That just still feels a little unnecessary to me.
Yeah, it does to me too. And it also feels like a betrayal of Din as a character. Like, what was the first thing we learned about this character in season one? That he doesn't like droids. And here's another thing. I'm flip-flopping. I guess I need to pick a side. And, like, I go back and forth wanting to see, like, yeah, this is character growth. We've seen him come a long way. He can learn to trust droids. In multiple situations, he's been able to do that. And he's kind of opened up his heart a little bit. That's awesome. I get that. Especially this IG unit. He feels some affinity towards after what they went through. But to see how quickly he just accepts the R4 unit from whatever her name is, I was like, seriously? That's it? Like, she offers him a discount because whatever holiday it is, I forget, and we're just on to the next scene. Like, it feels weird.
Do you know what droid that is?
Is it R4 from the Jawa with Luke?
Yeah, it's the same one that Luke was going to buy.
Oh, that's sweet.
That busted, so that's how they got R2.
That's pretty awesome.
And I gotta say, like, normally that the Peli, when she's on, I enjoy that character. I enjoy those scenes. This one just felt a little weird. Like, it felt like she was trying to take advantage of Mando and, like, try to sell him, you know, kind of a bill of goods as opposed to actually get him something that was going to help him. It kind of felt a little bit like she was betraying his trust a little there, particularly because she's so, like, obsessed with Grogu and is going to be putting him in harm's way by giving him a droid that she knows is made like crap, is kind of busted and isn't working properly. That scene just felt a little off to me.
Well, even the part before that, I don't know why, but I just kind of felt like, because she's ripping off the client before Din arrives, like, even that I was kind of like, kind of, I don't know, like, I'm not rooting for this.
Yeah, I did not like that.
Like, and like, hey, you said, like, I've loved her, but yeah, just something definitely felt off about her. And maybe it was because I was like, I don't like the fact that you're ripping this guy off. Like,
yeah,
I don't like that at all. But yeah, I definitely was not of the same, you know, excitement level to see her or enjoyment.
She's been a fun character. And then you find out, like, she's paying these, like, she's paying the Jawas to go rip these guys off. Like, it just, she stops being a character you root for now. And now you kind of, like, you loathe her. Like, this is not okay. Like, this is, we don't root for you now.
Yeah, Harrison, it seemed like you were going to jump in there too.
Yeah, I totally agree. At first I was like, hey, that's kind of funny. And I was like, wait, that's horrible. and then you, like, it takes like a moment where you're like, hey, I like this character. Hell, that's kind of funny. Oh, wait, that's not good. And it, like, it just kind of like plays with your emotions. Like, it's weird that so much of this season already makes me kind of question, what do I actually think about The Mandalorian? Because I don't know. Like, it really is making me kind of freak out that I'm so indecisive about everything. Where before, especially if you go back and listen to the episodes, it was just like, The Mandalorian's the greatest thing ever, every episode over and over again. And especially not being able to participate in The Last of Us episodes with you because I haven't seen it. But listening to your guys' review of The Last of Us, like, I was excited for that to continue, that excitement and thrill that's a good TV series was giving you guys. I was excited for that to continue with The Mandalorian, and maybe my expectations were just way too high, but here's another scene where it's like my expectations of this character in this series that I love just doesn't happen, and it's like almost kind of heartbreaking that it's not what I would hope.
I'm almost wondering, for like myself, as we're talking, and this just kind of hit on me, I almost wonder if for me myself I'm on like emotional overload, because there's just so much going on in movies, television, for me, video games, things that are coming out, things that are about to come out. I almost wonder if it's like, I have too much excitement for everything, like for so many things that are coming out, that some things are dampened for me.
I think there's a little bit of that, and what you're saying, Matt, makes perfect sense to me. I think I'll add another twist on maybe why I don't want to say I'm disappointed so far this season, but some of the hesitancy that it might sound like we have to praise this, for me at least, I think the gap between season 2 and season 3, even including season 2.5 of Book of Boba Fett, it's been so long since we've had these characters on screen together, going on their adventures together, that we really only remember the high water marks from seasons 1 and 2. We just remember the great music. We remember the great space western. We remember the great adventure and all the awesome moments between these two characters, forgetting that the whole season wasn't just that, you know, just hammered all the way to the top. There were parts that weren't as great. And when we pick back up and we're all excited for it, and it's been so long, I think that might be part of it. And look, there are some problems with this particular episode, but I think maybe that's why we're not necessarily ready to just throw confetti everywhere on episodes 1 and 2 so far of season 3.
Yeah. I almost wonder with, you know, is this one of those examples, and we've talked about this a couple of times, but is this something where, because of the time in between, and maybe because of the fact that, you know, the Book of Boba Fett was particularly underwhelming. And let's face it, this was something that was brought up. I think for what it's worth, Obi-Wan was somewhat underwhelming as well. It's two Star Wars projects in a row that were underwhelming after you got some of maybe the highest of highs of Star Wars on certain occasions. So, you know, do you have a little bit of backwash, so to speak, from the two projects that came before this? And would this maybe, you know, right now, would this have been something that maybe benefited from everything gets dropped at once? So you could see what the end result, like you could see what the end result is.
That I think, if I can jump in here, I still haven't finished Andor, and I've heard that it ended quite good.
Oh shoot! I'm sorry. I forgot all about Andor. Like, but and Andor is great.
I just haven't finished it because it just was. Right, and to that point, I keep thinking, oh, I should watch that, but it just lost me halfway through, and I'm with what Rob is saying. Three seasons into a show on streaming in today's TV climate, like especially something that was so captivating as Mandalorian, and I'm sure this is something Disney is aware of. Like, they've got to reinvigorate us and retain that excitement that we have. I think everyone was coming into Mandalorian season three with excitement, and to so quickly let that excitement sizzle out is concerning. Like, I'm not gonna turn off the TV show. I'm gonna keep watching it, but it's not carrying itself as, or me with it, as well as it could. I could see this losing a lot of viewers if it continues this way. And that sounds really bad. There are parts of this episode that I really enjoy, just as the series as a whole, I can see it going that direction.
This could be something where people who typically would watch this the day it comes out might wait till the end of the season and then binge all of it together, as opposed to just every week sit down at the appropriate time and watch it, you know, together, or whoever you watch it with. I mean, I don't anticipate Wednesday when I pick my kids up from school that they're not going to be arguing over, do we watch it before dinner or after, depending, because my kids have they're super busy. Like, they've got all a million different activities. So it wouldn't be until fairly late if we're all going to sit down and watch it, you know, the three of them plus my wife and I together, it would be pretty late. So it's always a discussion. Like, can we get it started now? Or do we have to wait for this kid to come home or that kid? I still expect that to happen next Wednesday. But I think, to Harrison's point, do people check out or deprioritize it? It could happen.
Yeah. I mean, I will say I have, like, now I have an easier work schedule than I did before based on the hours that I have to work. I have not watched this, like, on Wednesday. This, the first two episodes, this has not been a priority. And I've been home. I've been available to do that. And for whatever reason, you know, this is not, as we're talking, you know, Rob, you know, you and I will have The Last of Us recorded and the season finale of that. You know, The Last of Us has been, no, like, I'm not making plans on Sunday night because I need to be home at 9 o'clock and I needed to watch this. Like, even though it's at my fingertips anytime I would want it, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, whatever, like, no, I need to be home at 9 o'clock. Like, don't ask me to do anything. So far with the first two episodes, it's like, okay, yeah, I'm going to get to it, which is weird because before,
yeah,
it was, no, I got to watch it. And, you know, whether that was because we were doing an automatic review of it, but, you know, it just hasn't been the same so far. And that's not to say this won't end up being, you know, we could 3-4 episodes down the road here be like, oh my God, like, I can't believe our comments from, like, look how wrong we were 4 episodes, you know, 4 reviews ago when we talked about this. But right now, yeah, this is not, like, this is not at the forefront for me. So it's just interesting to me.
Sorry, I was muted there. I would happily admit to being wrong, but I'm worried that we'll be right. And
it's a weird feeling, right? Like, it's weird.
because I was so excited about this. I was like, The Mandalorian. And like, this was something that you and I talked about when we reviewed Ant-Man. Like, I was excited to be excited about something again. Mm-hmm. The way that like the MCU or when The Mandalorian was like, it was like the best thing since sliced bread. Like, I couldn't get to it soon enough. And now it's like, eh, I'll get to it in time. Like, if it wasn't genuinely, if it wasn't for this episode recording with you guys, I still wouldn't have watched episode two.
Yeah, and you know, we've talked about this with Star Wars several times too. Maybe The Last of Us now, but for whatever reason, just because of how it came into my life, whatever the case may be, when Star Wars has hit, I just don't quite have that feeling about anything else that I do when there's really good Star Wars. And then when there's really bad Star Wars, it's the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. And like right now, it's weird to just kind of go, all right, there's Star Wars. Like, it's weird.
Yeah, you want Star Wars to always be Rogue One. You want Star Wars always to be season finale, you know, of season two of The Mandalorian. You want it to be, I love you, I know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you always want it to be that. And occasionally you get...
Don't you dare.
Occasionally you get Jar Jar Binks. Occasionally you get an extended pod racing scene that was supposed to be just a tie-in to sell toys and video games. You know, occasionally you get some very strange decisions in the sequel trilogy.
And that was very diplomatic of you.
Yeah, I thought so. You're welcome. And that's the thing is we know what Star Wars can be when it's at its best, and it almost as fans of it, and we don't really have a right to feel this way, but sometimes we feel betrayed when Star Wars doesn't live up to our expectations. Like when Obi-Wan was a good show, but not an all-time pantheon top Star Wars ever created. I think just the fact that it wasn't that made it actually feel worse than it was, because it was a good show. I enjoyed it. I liked it.
Yeah. I think, you know, again, just, I don't want to just like beat this into the ground, but you know, we like, and maybe with this, again, we're getting ahead of ourselves. And Harrison, you said this when we were talking about like WandaVision, like I almost need to like stop thinking about what I wanted it to be and coming up with all of these theories, because it maybe killed my vibe when things didn't happen. But you know, like it doesn't have to be this way, and maybe I didn't enjoy it. But you know, with some of the things that we've seen for Star Wars, and just, you know, when we see it at its low, you know, I almost wonder if, like, for me myself, I'll just speak for me, okay, the fact that I'm not like over the moon about this, if I'm being a little bit too harsh and go like in the back of my mind going, oh God, like it, are we just going downhill? Like, are we starting to see another trend of Star Wars, like not really being what we want? Well, again, who am I to say what we want it to be? Like, if I have billions of dollars to produce something, then I can do whatever I want with Star Wars and buy the prop. Yeah, but until then, I almost wonder if like that's kind of what's on my psyche, is I get nervous knowing what the low in Star Wars is and being like, oh, dear God, something that I thought was the highest of Star Wars. Please, dear God, even if it's average, it's automatically going to feel like a letdown, even though it's like, yeah, that was good. And good is not bad.
It's just weird because like I was expecting it to be like the greatest thing ever. So I guess I just got to calm down and be like, you know what? Because if I think about it, like, is this episode like an episode where it's like, oh my gosh, I got to get to the microphone as fast as possible, and we got to talk about this amazing moment and this amazing moment and how cool is this? No, but it's episode two of the season. How many episodes are there going to be? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know how many episodes are in this season.
I believe there are eight.
Eight. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So we're like,
but we don't have a long ways to go. And before you know it, it's over. Rob, we talked about that with Halo. Like, okay, well, we still have 6 episodes left to go. Like, there's still plenty of time to turn it around. And then it was like, all right, well, there's 3 episodes. There's 3 episodes to go. Maybe they'll turn, like, they can save everything with the season finale. Like, everything could be redeemed. And then it was like, well, that happened. So before you know it, like, this is going to be over. Like, yeah. In 2.5 days, another episode is aired. And then we're only down to 5 episodes.
So that's true. So I there is some fair criticism here. But I will say that, like, there were parts of this episode that was really good that we mentioned. Yeah. Like, the interesting thing is that like, things just keep getting hinted at. And we're at the point where it's like, okay, next episode, we've got to start unraveling the mm-hmm. mystery box. Like I think what the film was depicting is like this weird kind of intrigue between Bo-Katan and Din, and how like Bo-Katan is maybe kind of feeling some emotions about the Creed and the Watch. That came off meaning something that I intended it to. That like that is creating some conflict within her. That's interesting to see what happens there. This whole thing with the Darksaber, that she used it and was clearly much more effective at it than him, but she's not immediately saying like, oh, let me fight you for it so I can have it back. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that's intriguing. I'm interested to see what's happening. But I was like, I would have expected that this type of stuff would have been happening in episode 1, and then we would get into it. Like, I feel like this almost would have benefited from 9 episodes, and you release episode 1 and 2 at the same time, and then we get, you know, 7 episodes after that.
Yeah, I mean, he does say, like, I'm in your debt, and, you know, she could have very easily been like, well, give me the Darksaber.
That's like, actually how the episode was going to end. I thought she was going to say that, and then it was like they had started battling it out or something. That's what I expected.
I did like, though, I mean, again, like, I certainly don't want to bash on this episode, because I'm not going to sit here at the end of this and say, like, oh my God, this was terrible. I really did like when she was talking about her father, and I thought it was just, and again, one of the things that I love is when you can tell Mando has emotion, even when he's wearing a helmet, call it body language, whatever. But I did like when she was discussing her father, and then he's just standing there and he's like, this is the way. I for some reason, like, that part kind of really hit me. I thought that was actually really well done, and I don't know why, because, like, I'm just kind of interpreting it however I want it to, and maybe it doesn't mean anything, but for some reason that was like a really, really good moment to me. Rob, if you want to jump in on anything with that.
Yeah, they share a cultural identity, but not every aspect of that cultural identity. And I felt like when he responded back with "this is the way" was kind of what he felt was the appropriate kind of, I guess, I don't want to say a salute, but just it is pretty much a religion at this point. So, you know, it almost felt like the right religious blessing in that moment.
Yeah, no, it did. It's almost like that, you know, what are you supposed to say when someone is talking about losing somebody? You know, what it's almost always the same thing, like, oh, I'm sorry for your things like that. But, you know, that I don't know, that felt like it meant a little bit more, or he, you know, and I think it did maybe to her as well, like even her reaction. I think maybe she was surprised, but thankful that's what he said.
Yeah, I think that's a good analysis. Surprised and thankful. So like, again, there's some really good stuff here that I'm like, okay, that's a really cool idea. I hope that we get more of it.
I did kind of laugh, though, that what I'm interpreting it as is that Mando was just too goddamn heavy with the armor, and he stepped off of like a rock and just sunk to the bottom. Like, that kind of, like, when I thought about that, that actually made me kind of laugh, because to me, there's absolutely no way that he got dragged down. So I'm just interpreting it as he's heavy as hell and he couldn't float.
Oh, that's what I thought too, especially because, like, there wasn't anything near him, like dragging him down. Like she didn't have to fight a monster at the bottom. Like even that thing they saw that I'm already forgetting the name of, like that didn't try and attack him. And that, that didn't look like it dragged him down. I think he sank, which is hilarious.
Yeah, I don't think he was fully recovered from his previous butt kicking.
Yeah, no, I mean, he definitely seemed like, you know, he definitely was worn down in this episode. But Rob, I'll let you go first. Any other, like, any key points, like anything really great that you thought about, or like, you know, good, or any other things that you were just like, look, this part just didn't hit for me?
I think I'm all set.
Harrison, anything that you want to add before we, you know, we get into just a finalized review?
I do think that droid human General Grievous spinoff thing that attacked him was pretty cool. I mean, I thought that it was going to, when its head crawled away, I was like, ooh, are we getting like a new villain? I was pretty excited. I mean, there's still a chance, but I don't know what that was, but it was cool. I kind of liked it. It was fun.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Totally agree. I did think that was a cool scene. But we're going to go into popcorn time. We're going to give our overall thought on this episode. So Rob, I'll let you go first. Harrison, I'll have you go second. And if you could, tell us what you thought about episode one. Give us your review for, you know, your popcorn review for that episode as well.
So for me, this is 3.5. I didn't like it quite as much as the previous. There's still a lot of things here that I am excited to see what happens and where it goes. It just doesn't match some of the highest of highs that we've seen. So a little bit of a drop off for last week, 3.5 buckets of popcorn.
All right, so that leaves me, and I'll just say that I'm right with Rob, where I'm 3.5 buckets. Yeah, yeah, I had to contemplate. I'm 3.5 buckets of popcorn for this episode, episode two. You know, it was pretty good. It wasn't knocked your socks off, and it wasn't horrible, but it was better for me than the previous episode, episode one, which only is getting 3 buckets of popcorn. So episode one, 3 buckets of popcorn. I liked it, but I maybe was expecting too much of it and it just didn't deliver. Not that it was bad. I mean, 3 still above average. It was good. It just was amazing. And this 3.5, there's liked it a little bit more, but still not quite into the great category yet.
Yeah. I'm with Rob. This is 3.5 buckets for me. Good. Not great. Again, is 3.5 bad? No. So it's just weird kind of talking about this in the manner that we have. But I would rate this 3.5 as well. I'm interested to see where this goes. I certainly am not going to skip a week or anything like that, you know, looking for, you know, with this show. But maybe there's fatigue happening. I'm not quite sure. Hopefully that's going to turn around. And we'll see. But before we go, Harrison, you're very busy over at the Basement Binge. If this is the first ever episode that listeners, maybe The Mandalorian Season 3 is where they're starting with Matt Goes to the Movies. So they've listened to episode one. They've listened to episode two now as, you know, as we're talking. Tell them about the Basement Binge.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that opportunity. The Basement Binge is a movie review podcast similar to Matt Goes to the Movies, where I binge favorite series or franchises and review them. I just finished up the Creed series with Creed 3, which I cannot say enough positive things about Creed 3. If you are interested in wanting to go see a movie in theaters and you're like, oh, which one should I go three? Creed 3 should be the top of your list. It was exceptional. So if you enjoy the Creed movies, you can check those out. Also, some great things coming with some animated films that initially was supposed to be the start of the year, but finally getting them to them now. So exciting things happening. Enjoying some animated films. Just finished Creed up. So fun things to review.
Yeah, I haven't gotten a chance to listen to the Creed 3 review yet. I'm certainly looking forward to that because I have loved the first two movies. I'm a big fan of the Rocky movies, and then Creed, I think, was, you know, Creed 1 and 2, I actually really, really enjoyed. So I'm certainly looking forward to seeing 3. It was between that or Scream 6, and you guys know that I'm a huge horror movie fan, so Scream 6 had to be first, but I'm certainly looking forward to going and talking about that one. Well, listening and then talking about it when I do my own review.
Yeah, I am anticipating, as if you've listened to an episode where I've been here before, I'm anticipating the Scream review so that I can be told about the movie without having to watch it.
Yes. Yeah, well, we'll see, because I certainly have a lot of thoughts about that movie, a ton of thoughts. So, and then, Rob, you always do such a great job. How do listeners continue to interact with this show? And, you know, anything new coming from Rob's reviews?
Yeah, so stay tuned, listeners, because I am expecting to get another spinoff episode over at the extended podcast universe of Matt Goes to the Movies for a show we call Rob's Reviews. It got something on the agenda, not quite booked on the calendar yet for recording date, but it is coming very soon now that life has slowed down just a little bit for me. And I'm able to kind of look at some of those things. And now that also Last of Us is off the air, that's one less recording session on my agenda. So we'll be able to pick one up. But yes, that's the best way to find out when that episode will drop is to stay subscribed to Matt Goes to the Movies. Wherever you are downloading this podcast, you can subscribe to it and make sure that you stay up to date with all of the latest and greatest things that are happening at Matt Goes to the Movies. The other way you can do that, of course, is to like all of the social media platforms. You can find the show on Facebook as well as the official Facebook group. You can also check us out on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, yeah, I think that's all of them. No word on whether or not it's on LinkedIn yet. That's probably coming in the future. But for right now, all the big ones, you can find the show there. You can email the show, mgttmpodcast@gmail.com. Any thoughts on The Mandalorian or any recent review, you can certainly send your thoughts over this way. We would love to hear from you.
Yeah. You know, if you're listening to this episode, that means you will have seen that the Last of Us review is up as well. We are going to find out whether or not The Last of Us is the first TV show that we have. Well, I shouldn't say TV show because that's not really what it is, but the first show that we would have ever given a perfect score to. It's going to be interesting. Can it keep the streak alive? Because so far, fives across the board. So thank you, everybody, for checking out this episode. We will see you very soon at Matt Goes to the Movies.